Hey everyone, and welcome back to Current Thoughts. Today we're diving into a question that affects all of us. Is technology making us smarter or just lazier?
We all rely on technology every single day, but are we using it to level up our knowledge or are we just outsourcing our thinking?
Today's episode is going to be a little different than our first three. In this episode, we're going to be alternating between asking each other questions and letting the other person answer. We will then follow up if we have anything more to add. Okay, let's get started with our first segment about the smarter side of technology.
In what ways has technology actually made us smarter?
Well, the internet has provided more access to resources, knowledge, and accelerated advancements in technology and healthcare and overall life. It's allowed for better communications through emails, smartphones, and video meetings. And it's accelerated the learning process through shared teachings. YouTube's one of those platforms that I would definitely say is shared knowledge there. People have issues, they show solutions to it, and then that ends up helping somebody else that has the same issue. All right. Do you think access to unlimited information makes us better thinkers, or are we just consuming too much random knowledge?
Access to unlimited information can lead to information overload, for one. And the amount of information can be overwhelming. People just have so much information available to them that it's overstimulus, almost like when a child is just learning and they get overstimulated. And I think adults are getting the same or on the same cycle. I think we need to challenge our thinking and form new ideas. Wisdom comes not from unlimited access to knowledge, but the ability to filter, analyze, and apply it as well.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to too much information because in the past, I have consumed, heck, just getting started with this YouTube channel, I consumed so much information that it prevented me from even starting for the longest time. And it can overwhelm you. It can consume you. So I think just because there's all that information out there, you still have to be able to process it properly. And just by consuming too much of it, it's going to be detrimental to you.
Right. So have you ever gone down a rabbit hole? Learning online and probably many rabbit holes.
Yeah, who hasn't? This is something that happens to me quite often, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, especially with YouTube. I am constantly looking up something on YouTube. Next thing I know, I'm watching a related video. Then I'm watching another related video. Next thing I know, it's been hours. And I've learned a lot, but I haven't really gotten much done. I probably could have learned the same amount in a shorter amount of time with less videos, but I have definitely gone down many rabbit holes.
Right. I think we all have. I've done the same thing when I was learning to do print-on-demand websites, and I would go down a rabbit hole and start at 9 in the morning, and next thing I know, I skipped breakfast and lunch. Didn't even notice it.
Yeah, that happens a lot to me. I'm in the middle of editing or researching something and the day's gone. And I'm like, all of a sudden it's dinner time. And that happens way too often.
Right. I don't think we're the only ones that happens to.
I'm sure we're not. So are we becoming better problem solvers or just good at Googling the right keywords?
I would say we're better problem solvers only because we have the information right at our fingertips. We don't have to look up a manual, or if we do need to look up a manual, all we do is Google it. Google the manual and it's all right there. Or we just ask Google and Google will tell us. We had a problem with our washer and it broke down. And instead of calling the repairman, we Googled it, ordered the part, and fixed it ourselves. So we're able to use resources through the internet that are very helpful.
Oh, yeah. We did that lots of times when we had the house. We also did it with the stove. We were having issues with the stove and the element going out. And we had to figure out whether or not that was something that we were confident in attempting to fix ourselves, or if we needed to call somebody in.
Right.
And same with the microwave, I think it was.
The microwave, the AC unit. Yeah, there were a lot of...
I mean, would we have built our own chicken coop had we not looked that up either?
Probably not.
Probably not. And again, it's one of those things where same with plumbing and electrical for me. Like, I used to do lots of plumbing and electrical. If you look it up and you feel like you are confident in the knowledge that you received and that you can attempt fixing something, then it's something that happens quite often.
Right. Yeah, it's very resourceful. So what's one technology you think has made life better?
Oh, for me, by far, the smartphone. Before the smartphone, we all had computers. I mean, but we had to be at our computer. Now we all have a computer in our pocket. Our smartphone gives us access to information, music, our camera, to take photos.
A spelling wizard.
A spelling wizard. and again, with all these assistants on these phones now, just getting better too. I mean, all you have to do is just ask. But I mean, obviously a video camera too. I mean, again, you have everything in your pocket when it comes to that smartphone, and no matter where you're at, you can capture photos, you can capture video, you can look up some information, you can listen to music, you can call somebody, you can video call somebody. Yeah. It's just amazing. It's no more strings attached, basically. I mean,
right. And before smartphones, it was the internet. I mean, that was the biggest thing for us growing up, you know, not having the internet and then actually getting internet, where kids today, that's all they're going to know. They won't know a life without internet. And that's something that we had to navigate, basically. And once we did, I mean, it transformed how we all connect. There's so much we can learn, create. I mean, it's instant access to knowledge. So it's the internet can be a very positive thing, but it can also be a negative as well. But it does allow us to have communities worldwide.
Oh, absolutely.
But is all this convenience making us too dependent? Let's talk about the lazy side.
All right, let's get into it. So do you think we rely too much on technology for everyday tasks?
I think we do.
Can you give an example?
So I think that, just like I was saying with spelling, we've got password managers that autofill. We've got autocorrect as far as your spelling. So you don't have to look up a dictionary or any of that. You've got smart devices in your home to turn on lights. That's definitely a negative.
Well, it can be.
Yeah, it can be.
I mean, it's one of the things where you can program your lights to come on when you're not home, which obviously helps. But it's another thing when you, instead of flipping a switch, you actually just tell it to turn on the lights.
Right. Instead of having to get up off the couch.
Or when you're standing right next to it.
That's true. Yeah. And then we have food delivery. So people are cooking a lot less too.
That's something I've seen a lot of the younger generation. They order a lot of the Uber Eats and Instacarts, but they order groceries and stuff, where a lot of them, to the point where they're not even like cooking anymore. Right. It's almost like a rarity to have them cook a home cooked meal. And for me and you, that's kind of bizarre, because, you know, we grew up in an era where we had
our parents cooked.
Meals. Yeah.
Yeah. Our parents
and
cooked.
And we cook
because our parents taught us how to cook.
Right.
And it's becoming a thing of the past. And that's very sad, I think, because having a home cooked meal, there's nothing like it. And it's something that it's a memory. Like, there's things that my mom makes that nobody else makes. And there's things that she makes that I absolutely love, and I won't eat anybody else's except for my mom's. And so if she didn't cook, so what are those kids going to do? You know, if my mom didn't cook and I'm always eating Uber Eats, they have nothing to pass down as far as recipes. And they're missing out on a lot, because there's so many home cooked meals that you appreciate as your childhood. It brings back childhood memories.
Well, not just that, but it's a convenience, but it's also an added cost. I mean, it gets expensive doing that.
It does.
Where if you would just make a little effort, maybe go to the store, go and buy the groceries that you need to make a meal and come home and take a little time to spend making your meal.
Right. And it's also connecting with your kids too, when you're making a meal and showing them how to cook
or your partner.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's definitely dying as far as that goes. And I'm glad I'm a little picky on that because I do not like my meals delivered to home. I want to eat them as soon as I get them. I don't want somebody packaging it up, sitting it on the shelf, and then taking the time to deliver it to my home. I would rather go and get it myself if that's what I was going to do.
Yeah, I think it could be beneficial. I've seen the services that basically send you all the ingredients to make a meal.
Right.
And then you make the meal. But at the end of the day, too, you could just look up the recipe, find out what the ingredients are, go to the store and get them.
Right.
And make it yourself, right, as opposed to having everything handed to you on a plate.
Right. And then you've got the cost. And right now, things are so expensive as it is, you've got that extra cost for somebody doing the work for you. So technology can definitely increase the pocketbook, or decrease the pocketbook, however you want to look at it.
Right.
How has technology changed how we interact socially? Are we more connected or more disconnected, would you say?
So this is a pet peeve of mine. I think that we are, even though we have more ways of connecting worldwide, I think it's actually made us less connected, especially with the social media apps. You know, the whole premise of those is to connect people around similar interests that they like. But in the same aspect, you're doing it from behind a keyboard or from behind a phone, behind a screen, and you're not actually getting face-to-face with any of those people and actually having conversations or doing anything with them. And that's kind of led to us kind of being more isolated because we're doing it from our homes as opposed to going in and meeting people. I mean, I've actually seen, you know, unfortunately this happened firsthand, but with my nephews, I've seen them, they're in the same house and they're texting somebody else that's in the same house as them.
Right.
And that's a little bit ridiculous because, I mean, yeah, you have the technology and it's there to do it, but just get off your butt. And
right.
Talk to the person, right, if you need something.
Right.
I mean, that just shows how lazy people can be when it comes to that.
I think also, well, at least our generation maybe, because I have a lot of friends from high school still on my Facebook. I do Facebook. A lot of the younger generation doesn't do Facebook, but my generation, our generation seems to a little bit more. And so I'm able to connect with some of my high school friends or my elementary friends, even just wishing them a happy birthday or seeing what they're up to, kind of connecting that way, if not in a conversation per se, unless we get into, you know, a conversation, but just seeing what each other's up to and be able to stay connected that way instead of waiting for a 5-year reunion or a 10-year reunion or a 20-year reunion or your grandkids that don't live near you. You can see pictures of them or kind of keep up in that aspect. So that aspect is, I think, positive. The younger generation, I think, they're on TikTok. They're not on Facebook. And they're not watching their family. They're not watching their friends. They're just watching random people. So they're totally disconnected, I would say, when they're using it in that form.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. Again, does it give you opportunities to remember people's birthdays better because you get reminders and then you're able to post something on their birthday to the social media platform wishing them a happy birthday? Again, that's great and all, but at the end of the day, how personal is it? As opposed to getting a card or visiting them in person.
You know, right, but I'm talking people that you don't normally associate with every day. Like if that's happening with your family members, your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your grandparents, that kind of thing, and you're not remembering their birthdays, shame on you. But for your extended friends or family, I would say it's a better way to keep in contact. But yeah, you definitely aren't remembering birthdays or you're definitely not reaching out as much because you're consumed with social media or the internet and going down those rabbit holes.
I think the biggest benefit for me is it helps me keep in touch with friends that live in different states, that because that it would have been hard to keep up with those people.
Right. We don't use pen pal anymore. We don't write letters. So that's the only way to keep in contact.
Right. And you know, everybody has their own lives. You know, they're doing their own thing. So this allows you to kind of at least see whatever what's going on in people's life if they post to social media. Some people don't. But it allows you to have some form of connectivity that you normally wouldn't have had without the internet or without social media platforms. But then again, you have to be on that platform and they have to be on that platform.
Right.
But yeah, it does work. It just, have I seen it do more harm than help? In my opinion, I say yes.
Right.
So what's something that you used to do manually, but now completely rely on tech for?
There again, phone numbers. Phone numbers. I used to know probably 5 to 10 phone numbers, although I am pretty good with numbers, so I can remember more numbers than most. But for the most part, yeah, it's your phone numbers. Nobody remembers phone numbers. Not only that, but when I think, at least when where I lived back in the day, then phone numbers were only 5 numbers as well. Ooh. So now they're 7 numbers. So that did make a difference. But phone numbers, definitely calculators, just doing math in your head. It's just too easy to grab your phone and punch in the numbers that you want. And it's a good thing because you know that it's correct, but then it's also, you know, something that we used to do more often that we don't do now. And then research. When we do research, we used to have to go to the library. That took time. That took lots of time. You had to drive there, walk there, take the bus there, however it was, and sit there, do your research. And then when you got home, if you forgot something, too bad. You had to go back to school the next day and go early or something. But now you've got research right at your fingertip. That and the news. Getting the news every morning, that's what I do on my phone. When I wake up in the morning, I want to see the weather and I want to see the news. And I don't always want to watch TV. So I just pick up my phone.
Or read the newspaper.
Or read the newspaper, right.
Yeah, the research, the internet, I can't even imagine. It would have totally changed my college experience because I used to go to the library whenever we had papers that we had to do or studying that we had to do. And you would go and do all that research at the library.
Right.
And now everything's done online. So it makes me wonder how much college students actually use the library.
Right. Probably not much. And just like books have changed. Now you can get an Audible.
Yeah.
It'll read to you.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get much easier than that. All right. So could you find your way around without GPS? You probably could. But
I probably could because I did it before we had GPS. I mean, I used to be a field tech in the greater Los Angeles area, and I had, what were those maps called?
Oh, shoot. Ask Google.
I don't know. Yeah, anyways, I had the map, and I knew how to read a map, and I was able to get around LA, and to the point where when you use a map, you're not always looking at the map. You're kind of looking at the map to figure out, okay, what turns do I need to go on? What streets do I need to get on? But as you're doing that, you're actually looking around more and you're familiarizing yourself with the surroundings. And therefore, it makes it easier to get around without the assistance of anybody guiding you.
Right, like a building or a high school or a government building, anything you're looking at.
Restaurant,
right,
anything, yeah.
Right.
And now, don't get me wrong, I've been guilty of this myself. I mean, whenever I go somewhere new now, I'm always pulling up the address on my GPS on my phone and having it navigate me to from the airport to the hotel, from the hotel to, you know, where I'm going to get something to eat, from the hotel to the customer site that I'm going to. And yeah, so I'm using it quite a bit. Now, I've used it before, not just for navigation. Like when we go into Vegas, sometimes I use it just because it now shows what your speed is and what the current speed limit is, or for traffic.
For traffic, yeah, absolutely. If you're going to be going into traffic, then it'll reroute you a different way that's quicker.
Well, it'll show real-time traffic as well. So if there's an accident or anything too that's unexpected, you know, this will give you all that information now right there at your fingertips. But again, I don't think that's something the younger generations will be able to do, is without GPS. If something happened to technology and we had some kind of a blackout in technology, a lot of younger generations would probably be lost.
Yeah, they can't read a map. They don't know what the odd numbers mean and what the even numbers mean. And yeah, they just have no clue how to get around. That's scary.
It's very scary. So does having unlimited access to information make us better thinkers, or are we just consuming too much random knowledge?
Well, I think the volume of information can be overwhelming. We often fall into a cycle of scrolling, consuming bite-sized facts, and moving without any real reflection. And it's leading us down superficial understanding, shorter attention spans, misinformation, especially when algorithms are prioritizing engagement over accuracy, and we don't even check it. We just assume that it's correct. And the only time we're checked maybe is when we have a conversation with somebody and they're like, oh no, that's not true. Oh yeah, I saw that online. Well, did you read the whole article? Because that's not what the article said. That's what the title said, but the article did not say that. So you're reading something that's not complete.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's making us better thinkers. That's something I've been trying to work on actively with meditation, trying to be able to clear my mind. And it's hard nowadays because there is so much information out there that's just grabbing your attention. And I know the first time I sat down and I tried to meditate, like, I could not shut off my mind. My mind was just constantly just go, go, go. And, you know, thinking this, thinking that, to where I'm constantly getting distracted. I'm thinking about something else. And the whole point of meditation is to be help you clear your mind and help you regain your focus. And so if people aren't able to clear their minds, how are they able to focus? And hence, that's probably the reason for the short attention spans.
Right.
Because, yeah, it's just something very, very crazy going on today. And again, it's due to the fact of unlimited access to information. Right. So
I'd imagine the human brain in the 50s compared to the human brain now is so different.
Well, just
so different.
Just think about it. Back then, you pretty much lived within your neighborhood,
right,
your community, and right, that's it. Now everybody's living in their state, in their country, in their worldwide. Right. There's so much information out there. You're hearing about stuff that you may never have heard about. I mean, you know, we watch TV shows from other countries.
Right.
And, you know, that's eye-opening to us. And then, but it's also something that we enjoy because it gives us a different perspective than what we have here.
Right.
So it does open your mind to different perspectives by being able to communicate and see how other people live. And a lot of times you can see that without leaving your homes, but it's probably better, it has more impact on you when you're actually there in person.
Right. I agree. So what's a tech habit you wish you could change?
I don't know. Either checking my phone right before I go to sleep, or checking it right when I wake up, like the first thing when I wake up, sometimes just mindlessly scrolling social media. I know it's a waste of time. And again, that's one of the things I'm working on to get better at.
I think we're all guilty of that.
Yeah.
It's just so easy. I mean, the first thing you do when you get up, if it's not reading the paper, then you're wanting to see the news. Well, where's the news? It's on your device if you're not watching TV. We don't watch a lot of TV, so that's where we're getting our information. So it's a catch-22. I think it's just about being mindful too. Like you said, trying to change habits that really aren't very healthy.
I would almost want to reword that question instead of just making it personal to me, what things I wish I would change, or maybe things that I wish society as a whole would change.
Right.
You know, like if you're walking down the street or even you're crossing the street, don't be looking down at your phone. Pay attention, because you never know, somebody might not be paying attention to you, right, and you get hit by a car. Or when you're going on a date, I see this all the time, and they're looking down on their phone instead of having a conversation with the person that's sitting across for them. And
disengaged.
Yeah, just, you know, there's times that you should be on your phone, and then there's times when you shouldn't. And you need to, you're in control of making that decision and setting those boundaries.
Right.
And too many people just don't set those boundaries.
Well, just like in the car. How many times are we driving and people, I just don't understand that, because with the technology that we have in our smartphones, you can send a text by speaking to your phone. You don't have to have it in your hand at all, ever. And to have a conversation with somebody, you can put it on speakerphone. And I see people all the time, they're the only one in the car, yet they've got that phone right in their hand, right by their ear or right by their mouth, and they're talking. And most new cars, they have that technology built into them, so you don't have to have that at all. But even if you don't have that technology built into your car, like I said, you have a speaker, or you have Siri, or you have Alexa, or you have Bixby, or whatever it is that your phone has, you can tell it to text somebody or to call that person. So, and as much advertising as we've had in this country about do not text and drive.
Oh, it's illegal in certain states.
Yeah,
in a lot of states.
And people still do it. Mm-hmm. It just drives me nuts. Somebody is not paying attention. The light's green, yet you're still sitting at a green light, and you look into that car, and the person's on their phone. Yep. It's very frustrating.
Happens all the time.
Way too much.
Yeah, that's why I can't wait to where basically self-driving cars are more incorporated into society, because I think then, yeah, you can do whatever you want. It's just like be on public transportation, whether you're on a train or the bus or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have trains in this country like they have in Europe.
At least not here on the West Coast.
Not on the West Coast, right. Yeah. So you have one option, and that's drive for the most part. Okay, so what does this mean for the future? Are we losing valuable skills?
Yeah, I think people, they don't think as deep as they used to, because everything's available for you on your smartphone, and you can ask Siri or any of those personal assistants, you know, to look up something. You can Google it, you can YouTube it, and so it's basically becomes more of, you know, I have a problem, let me look up a solution, rather than trying to think about a possible solution and kind of do that troubleshooting on your own. You're actually just looking for an answer. You find an answer, and then you go up to proceed to fix it.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there that don't know how to have a conversation. They talk, but they talk over one another because they can't remember what they want to say, and they can't wait to tell somebody that, so they just blurt it out and talk over somebody,
right,
as opposed to just having that give and take when you're actually having a conversation with somebody.
Yeah. There again, attention span.
Math is another one too. I've been guilty of this myself. You know, a lot of times I still try to think, if it's something that's simple math, I'll try to do it in my head. But if it's taking me too long, then I instantly turn to my phone.
Right.
And again, it's just way too easy to do that. And way too easy, way too lazy, whatever you want to call it. But it's become one of those things, and it does deter your thinking, because you're not actually giving yourself time to actually try to solve the problem or remember those math skills that we learned when we were in high school or college.
Right. Yeah, I think technology isn't the problem. It's how we interact with it, because that's what's shaping our future.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think if people just, you know, gave some time and some thought to how they're actually using it and kind of take accountability for how they've been using it, and then, you know, make a plan to change that for the better, they would find a vast improvement in their life.
This is kind of what we've already been discussing a little bit, but some people say technology is making us lose basic skills like handwriting and mental math. Do you agree?
Absolutely. This is one of those things where I remember, I don't even know if it's taught anymore, but I learned how to write in cursive. And I remember that's how I learned how to write first before I learned how to write text. And I used to use cursive in high school. I hardly see anybody use cursive except for their signature now.
Right. But if they're not teaching it, how are they going to sign things?
Well, I don't know. I don't have kids that I don't know if they're teaching it or not.
Some places don't.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody's kind of going and doing it, you know, taking notes and typing everything up digitally as well, as opposed to writing it down when you're doing notes. I mean,
your computer can sign your name.
Yeah, that's true. I just actually had to do that this last week. But I can kind of see, like, I kind of saw it when I was going to college that, you know, the people that could afford a laptop when they came to class to take notes, they would take notes on their laptop as opposed to just writing it down on a notebook. And I'm sure nowadays, because laptops have gotten a lot cheaper, more and more students are bringing laptops into the classroom. Now, whether or not they're taking notes or not, that's another story.
They might just be pushing on their phone. They probably have an app and it can just record the conversation that the professor's having.
With technology nowadays, yeah, you could just record the lecture and then basically on your own time. Or nowadays with AI, you could probably just ask it to summarize.
Right.
And what are the key takeaways?
Absolutely. AIs.
Again, so much easier than when we were growing up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When I had to do a book report, I hated to read. So I would go to the back of the book, look at the summary of the book, and write my report off of that. Now you've got AI that'll just tell you what this book is about and how to do a book report, and here's the book report. So... yeah, it's a lot different, this world.
Well, you had experience when you used to work, she used to work at convenience stores, gas stations, and you had experience because you could see that there was people that didn't know how to count out change.
Oh,
If the computer, the register didn't tell you what to give them back to, they were lost. Like you said, your system went down and they didn't know how to manually count out the change.
Right. We would do, once a year, we would do inventory. And I was the manager of the office. And once we had to do our yearly audits or inventory, then we would go in at say 2 a.m. and we'd shut the registers down. And these are adult women that were our managers. And we would tell them we're turning the system off until we get the inventory put in. And they're completely freaking out. And they had no idea. And they're like, what do we do? How do we get, we got to give change? I don't know how to do that. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? What is going on? So I would help them figure out what the change was, how to write it down. Yeah. And these are, like I said, these are grown people. So that's pretty scary. I know one of my first job was I worked in a cafe and I had an old fashioned cash register where it had the 10, the 5, the 25, coffee was 50 cents, and I was a cook, and I took care of the customers as far as the register went. And so I wasn't the greatest at math, but man, I sure had to learn quick. I had no technology to help me with that. So kids nowadays, there's no way.
Yeah, you're finding examples of that happening all over the place.
All the time. When I go to a fast food place or anything and my total is 2022, I'll give them the, you know, 2 cents and they're like, what do I do with this?
Right.
What do I do with this? And if the register, they put it in wrong, then they're completely lost. Yeah, that's a scary thing when you're talking about money and people just don't know how to calculate that.
So what about kids growing up with screens everywhere? Do you think they're going to be a smarter generation or a lazier generation?
Oh, there's such a fine line between the two always on this entire subject, because I think parents are throwing it at them more than they should, maybe. It's just easier. But I think the access they have, it's endless possibilities. Like, they have so much knowledge at their fingertips from the time that they're born, their whole life, where we didn't have that. But as far as, oh man, kids just can't focus anymore. They don't have patience. Their attention spans are dwindling. They can't solve problems on their own. And that part of it, it's really sad. I mean, you can't even go into a restaurant anymore without every single kid. You look around the restaurant and every single kid has a tablet or a phone. And these parents have 3, 4, or 5 kids, and every one of them has a tablet. It just blows my mind that the kids are just being pushed for the technology. And I get some of it. I mean, yeah, when my kids were little, we had a television. If I wanted to take a shower, I put my kids in front of the TV and I took a shower. But nowadays, that's been done 10 times over. They just don't want to deal with them. Then they just put a tablet in front of them and say, here you go. And that's what they do until bed. That part of it, I just don't think is as good. I think there's a difference between a tablet and having television.
Yeah, I've seen that happen way too often when it comes to parents using it as a crutch, almost, to, they don't know how to deal with their kids. Instead of parenting, they basically just use it as like a babysitter. You see it in restaurants all the time where they can't function without actually having a screen to look at or playing a game. I've seen it with grown adults, you know, people that started off playing video games and are now grown adults. And the one thing that I've seen that it hurt is I've seen it hurt their ability to socialize. Like my nephews, they were all into gaming. They were on their phones. They would come over to a barbecue where we'd have 20, 25 people, and they didn't know how to communicate with anybody. So they would just isolate themselves on the phone.
Right.
And that's not good for their social development either.
Absolutely.
And is that happening in schools? I mean, I know I couldn't even imagine a world where we went to high school where we had cell phones.
Right.
I mean, I remember when I was so excited because my dad had like a calculator watch, and I would take it into math class and I would try to, you know, use it to cheat or whatever. But nowadays everybody has that, you know, a power computer in their pocket.
Right. And, well, a lot of states, though, I did see passed as of January 1st that a lot of high schools are not allowing cell phones or smartphones in their classrooms or on campus. They have to turn it off. They can't have their watches on. It has to be in airplane mode. And their phones have to be in their locker or their backpack, but they cannot see their phones while they're on campus. So that is a plus. I know the kids probably don't think that, but it is a very big distraction. When we had breaks between classes in high school or lunch, we were all conversing. That's all we did.
Well, we didn't have cell phones either.
Right. But these kids nowadays, they're not conversing. If you go to a school, all they're doing is looking at their screens. So the communication, you know, is through their phones. And I don't think it's healthy.
It's definitely not healthy. And it's another distraction from teaching them how to enhance their social skills
right.
with other people, you know, taking them away from learning. So it's to me, it's almost one of those things where I'd almost refuse to give my kid a phone until they were out of high school. I know that sounds a little cruel. And I know that, the argument that I've heard from many parents as well is, especially with everything going on in the schools nowadays with all the school shootings,
you have to have communication.
You have to have communication, and you know, people want to know where their kids are at, and they use it kind of as a tracking device sometimes as well. But, you know, again, you got to find that balance, because to me, I think, again, it's just taken away from them learning.
Right. It takes a lot of parenting and a lot of patience to not allow your kids to be on TikTok or Facebook or any social media apps. And then if you give your kid a regular phone, that's not even a smartphone, then they're teased. So it's a hard, fine balance when it comes to the smartphones and, say, teenagers.
There are things you can do when it comes to that too, though. I remember when I was around my brother and his kids, they were always on the computer all the time. And I remember saying something to them, and there were solutions for them to limit the computer, what they could do on the computer, what apps they could use, and how much time they could spend on the computer, and it would kick them out.
Right.
But again, that takes time for the parent to enforce those rules, to set up those apps and everything on their phones. And, you know, again, maybe to where they are not able to download any apps, the social media apps that are there, you know, limit what they can have and what they can't. Like, you know, maybe they shouldn't be on any social media platform. So you're using it basically as a communication device where you can text people.
Right.
And you can make phone calls, but you can't go on any of the social media apps. So there are tools out there.
If you're a teenager, you're going to try everything in the world to get to that social media, whether it's using your friends' phones or it's out there. It's even the best parents probably aren't going to be able to keep their kids off of it. They can keep them from creating accounts, possibly, but it's out there. And that's what makes it very scary, is that other kids have it. So it's literally at their fingertips. You go to somebody's house for a sleepover and that's what they're all doing. Even if you don't have that capability on your phone, people have iPads and other resources. Is there any ways technology has made you feel less intelligent?
Well, I've never been the best speller, but I'm constantly turning to Google or AI or
your wife
or my wife. Yeah. On how to spell the same word over and over again. Yeah. It makes me feel like, again, I'm not getting any better at my spelling. Let's put it that way. Or my grammar for that much.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, and then sometimes, like, again, when I'm thinking of something, instead of just maybe giving it some time to actually give some thought to it, I end up just going and Googling it really quick.
Right. Or you ask me, hey, babe, what happened to this? Or who's this? Or who's married to this person? And I'm like, ask Google. Yeah. So I just ask. Sometimes you don't even use Google as much as you could, but you just ask me. And I'm like, how would I know? I'm just going to ask Google.
So do you think there will ever be a point where we rely too much on technology to the point where we kind of stop thinking critically?
Oh, I think that's already happening. I think with AI, it's going to be what we rely on. It's going to be all we know. Right now, we're doing it for daily tasks. We're doing it in the jobs. We're doing it in socializing. Yeah, it's a lot. It's everywhere. And it's, you could say it's too much, but it's our way of life. So I don't think, I mean, it's not going to slow down. It's just going to get to more and more. I mean, I don't even know how to explain how more it could be in our homes, but it's going to be everywhere. AI is just going to take over, I think, and it's going to be way more technology than we could ever imagine.
Yeah, maybe someday you'll have a robot that's in your house that cooks for you, that cleans for you, does your laundry.
Yeah, Jetsons.
And then, those skills will be lost because you're not doing them.
Right. I remember a couple of years ago, I got a thing on social media on Facebook, and it was a post about the Jetsons and when he was George Jetson, what year he was born. And it's like, we're in that age now. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of silly because when you're watching those cartoons, you know, you're watching the Flintstones, which goes back in time, and then you're watching the Jetsons, which goes forward in time, and you're thinking, that would never happen in my lifetime. And here we are. So, yeah, it's just going to get to be more.
So what can we do to make sure technology is a tool for growth instead of a crutch?
There again, it's balance.
Yeah,
there's got to be a balance. You got to have the balance between convenience and self-reliance. You got to have balance. And as humans, that's very hard for people to do.
And something else that I can offer that's worked for me, at least so far, and I continue to implement this, is things that you've done that you know you do well, teach other people how to do that. By teaching people, you recall those skills, and that helps you rather than relying, like, for example, like gardening. You know, I know how to garden. I know how to grow just about anything. Obviously, raising chickens now, we've done that. You know, building certain things. If somebody else is trying to take on those things, give them the benefit of your knowledge.
Right. If somebody, I think that's the problem, is you have to have the audience to be able to do that.
Well, nowadays, and with YouTube,
I know you have YouTube. I know, but some people aren't comfortable being in front of a camera, so they would never even attempt that. Some people don't want their face on YouTube for whatever reason. So if you have somebody in your community that wants that knowledge, yeah, you can give that. That's a great asset that you have, but I think it's getting harder and harder to find people that actually want that information from people. Mm. That's really hard. I've never had anybody, I mean, I've had people that have built chicken coops that we've known or whatever, and they've never come to us to ask, because why? They got YouTube. They don't need humans to actually tell them how to do something where they can just YouTube it, just like us. I mean, we didn't even know anybody that had ever built a chicken coop, but that's how we built ours. So instead of asking around maybe to other people if they had done it, we just YouTubed it and looked at different ways of doing it, because there again, you've got people that are doing it in different ways. And so we found what way we thought would be best for us, instead of just one person, our neighbor, say, okay, this is how I do it like this. Well, his way may not be the best way. So that's when you have choices.
Well, and that's how sometimes you learn too, because again, just for the simple fact that our first video was showing how we make our dog food, our homemade dog food.
Right.
And just from posting that video, we've gotten quite a few views and quite a few comments on that, on our very first video. A lot of them were really nice. A lot of them were really helpful, because they actually pointed out things that maybe we weren't thinking about, as far as we were using canned chicken when we first started doing that. And right, we didn't realize that it had excess sodium in it. So we made an adjustment. You know, there are certain vegetables that maybe weren't exactly great for dogs, like peas, for example. Right. So we eliminated those and found an alternative. So it's, you know, through trial and error. But sometimes, you know, again, that just shows that the vast community out there, that when you post something out there, you're not showing people that this is the right and the only way to do it. Right. This is the way that you are doing something. And then
just want to share it.
And then other people offer their advice to you. On ways you can improve it. And that's been wonderful.
Yeah, there's just so many people out there that could see that video. And yeah, they have more knowledge, or they have more suggestions. And we take their suggestions and we changed our dog food and we made another video.
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate for anybody, especially 40, 50, 60. You know, they have a lot of life experience, and there's something that maybe is that they're passionate about, but sharing that knowledge on a YouTube channel, whether it be, you know, for yourself, for your family, you know, for your friends, or just for everybody. There's just so many people out there that I think that would be a great way to share that knowledge.
Right.
Or leave a legacy even to like their grandkids, who may never use that knowledge because they may have technology, but
right,
that does everything for them. But I mean, at the end of the day, at least it tells you something about that person too,
right,
and how they used to live and things that they had to do that maybe you don't have to do anymore.
History.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's one way we can use technology more intentionally to make us smarter instead of lazier?
So use it to learn. I would say that's probably the biggest thing. Use it to learn instead of just for entertainment. A lot of people use it for entertainment. They like to watch basically videos that are pointless. And that's all entertainment, but use it to actually learn. There's so much out there, and that's the way I've been using it. I'm constantly living a life of lifetime learning, and I learn something new every day when it comes to the internet and technology and YouTube.
Right.
I'm constantly learning stuff.
And if you set limits, set a limit on your social media or your games or your entertainment apps, any of that, just set limits and don't go down a rabbit hole daily.
Yeah. Every now and then it's okay, but yeah, not daily. Yeah. Definitely on the gaming, because I've seen that literally ruin relationships, and you got to set limits. I mean, again, it can be a part of your life, but as long as you know, just like anything else that's entertainment wise, whether it be watching TV, binge watching Netflix, or any other streaming service out there, you have to set limits, because it's just be a portion of your life and not all of your life.
Right.
And, you know, it all comes down to the mindfulness as well. You know, again, it's just a matter of, instead of just doing, stop and actually think about the stuff that you're doing and give it some deep thought and think to yourself, is what I'm doing, how I'm using this, hurting or helping me?
Right. Or not even hurting, but just helping. Because some people might think of it, they don't think of it as hurting themselves because they're not thinking about it, but is it helping?
Well, again, that's where you have to be honest with yourself too. Right. Because at the end of the day, like if you're just constantly scrolling on TikTok or something, or you're playing a game mindlessly and wasting so much time where you're not able to get stuff done that you need to actually get done, then that's a problem. But
yeah, that's hurting you.
And you may not want to admit it, but at the end of the day, if you're honest with yourself, then you're going to realize, okay, this can't continue because I'm not able to be productive. I'm not able to get stuff that I need to get done.
10 things to do today and the day's almost over because I went down a rabbit hole.
So do you think the benefits of technology outweighs the negatives?
When it's used wisely, yes. There again, kind of the same thing. When we use it to enhance learning and communication and productivity, then absolutely.
And if not, then you can kind of lose your memory. You can lose your communication skills, your social skills.
Right.
Yeah.
If you had to give one piece of advice for people to find balance with technology, what would it be?
Be intentional. That would be it. Be intentional with when you're using technology. Be intentional, but use it to learn, to teach, to create, and not just consume. And then again, like I mentioned earlier, you know, you have to be honest with yourself and how you use the technology.
Right.
Take accountability, and you know, make those changes. We brought this up before, but we used to play Candy Crush until we realized how much time we're wasting on it.
Right.
And so we not only stopped playing it, but we removed it from our devices.
Right.
So that way it's not even a temptation for us.
Yeah. Have a day with no technology or no phone, even. No phone, no internet, no laptop. A lot of people probably couldn't do that. Don't start scrolling. Try to do that once a week, maybe once a month. Just start somewhere. I think that would be healthy. I've done that when I'm with my daughter, my granddaughter, then there's a lot of times where she's my focus. And so I'm not constantly on my phone. And if she's wanting my attention, then I put my phone down and I'd much rather be socializing with her and playing with her than to be on my phone.
Mm. Yeah. Get out in nature, go camping, do something that,
right,
you know, makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, get out of your box.
Right. All right, so let's settle it for once and for all. Do you think that technology is making us, as a couple, just me and you, is it making us smarter or lazier?
For me and you, I think it's probably making us smarter, as we have talked about not playing any games, and you use it a lot more for learning, where I use it more for keeping in contact with people or
being creative.
Right. I was going to say creating, like I just created a birthday invitation. So I use it for that communication. I also use it for, I use Marketplace as well. I need something to buy and I really don't want to buy it brand new. I'm very frugal when it comes to that. So I look on Marketplace. If I can find it on Marketplace, I'd much rather buy it there and be able to recycle something instead of somebody maybe just throwing it away because they couldn't sell it. So I would much rather buy something from somebody online or through Marketplace than to buy it brand new, depending on what it is.
You also use Marketplace to sell stuff as well.
Correct. So yeah, I do quite a bit. All right, that's a wrap on today's episode. Are we getting smarter or are we just one update away from forgetting how to do anything on our own?
We love to hear from you. Drop us a comment, hit us up on Instagram or leave a review and answer the question, is tech making you smarter or lazier?
And if you found this episode thought-provoking, make sure to subscribe, share, and tune in next time for another dive into real-life conversations.